This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
For me, it was like an overnight change. So okay. I didn't have the typical, I was in love, I've known this person for a while, my story's a little different. Yeah. And I became like a parent within a weekend span of a three-month-old.
Okay, hold on. Let me... Take me through this. You said you became a father over the weekend?
Yeah.
What's up, my people? We're checking in today with another episode of Inside the Vibe. I'm the host, Yoru. Today we have a Forbes Black member, neighborhood council member, founder of Spark the Brain, a creative and a tech enthusiast. I give you Kofi.
Thank you for having me.
Kofi. How you feeling today?
I'm feeling good. I'm glad it's not freezing today, so yeah. Happy about that.
But weather's nice. A little chilly, but not too terrible where we have to put on the hoodies just yet.
Yeah. Okay. How are you?
I'm good. I can't complain. You know, we're it's another long Saturday, but it's a holiday weekend, so we're going to get into some fun after the work is over. You know how that goes. So before we get into like the serious questions about what you do, Spark the Brain, just your journey as a not only a tech enthusiast but philanthropist and all these other things that you have your hands in, we're gonna do some silly questions, kind of get the mood more calm, more entertaining, more comfortable, I would say. So first thing I have for you is, do you have a hobby that's like a little, I'll say geeky or nerdy, something that you like to do, but like you may not be as forthcoming about it? No. So, nothing raunchy, just like, you know.
Yeah, I'm into raunchy. Like Star Wars and like Marvel shows and stuff.
Okay.
So I will watch like, even after movies, I would go on YouTube and watch like stuff about the characters.
Okay.
Like their stories, and it's like the geek guys on there talking about it. I don't really tell people that, but yeah, that's
not enough. I'm the same way. Not Star Wars. Star Wars, yeah. I feel like, is like a real cult. Marvel's more like a club. Because Star Wars is like, oh no, he was the fifth Jedi of the family. And I'm just like, I just like the lightsabers. Like, that's too much for me, but. Yeah. I'm definitely aligned with that. Lion King or Toy Story?
I'm gonna go with Toy Story.
Okay, I'm surprised. I thought as an African you would. Yeah. I thought you would do Lion King because I'm a Lion King guy. I might be biased, but actually I don't know. Toy Story is both legendary, so there's no real wrong answer. Okay. How many numbers have you? I want to say. Memorized in your life?
Phone numbers.
And not including your own.
Probably like 3 to 4.
Yeah. We don't need to anymore. These days, like, you got caller ID, the landlines. I feel like on landlines, that was more of a thing. But now we don't really need to do that as much anymore. Do you believe in soulmates?
I do.
Okay. Why?
I feel like certain people, like, you meet them, and it just feels like you've known them your whole life, like, just off rip. And it's just some people that just leaves like a certain like impact on you. So I feel like I've been in love before. I love before, and it's some people that's just like this person, like they can't go away. No matter what I do, no matter who I talk to, they're just there. And I think that's like a real soulmate. Yeah.
All right. I like that answer. And do you believe that? I guess you believe in like both platonic and romantic soulmates.
At first I didn't, but now like I do.
Platonic soulmates is a hard one, especially if, like, y'all are the opposite sex. It's like, I don't know how that works. I mean, yeah, I don't know. It depends on where I am in the situation, how open I am to embracing it. Like, I don't know if my girl could have, like, my girl could have no soulmate, because now everybody got to die, unfortunately. All right, so would you rather be on 90 Day Fiancé or Love is Blind?
Probably 90. Nah, not 90 days too long. Love is Blind.
Okay.
Yeah. I hate both. But really? Love is Blind. Yeah.
I like Love is Blind. I like the chaos. I could never be on it, though. Could never be on it. It's just not who I am. My friends would never let me live that down.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like people, I guess my understanding of 90 Day Fiancé is like people go on there to like get green cards. And maybe that's just because like my first introduction to it, that like real famous couple, I think it was like an African man, like this big white girl. Yeah. That was when I first started realizing about 90 Day Fiancé. So I don't know if I could just ever really realistically go on there.
I feel like 90 Day, I wouldn't be able to like fake it. Like I'll just be like, nah.
It depends on what's at stake. Like I could, okay. I'm a pretty good like, I can suffer in silence. Mm. So I think I might be able to make the long haul. But it depends. It depends. I had to be in the moment. Do you prefer to work in silence or with like music or the TV playing like white noise?
Mm. It depends what I'm working on. Like when I did like essays or certain work in school, I need music. Probably like an album and just keep it going. If it's like regular work like now, it depends.
Okay.
Yeah, I need something that's not like too loud, something like calm.
But fills the space a little
bit. Yeah.
All right. Last one I have for you. Would you rather kind of go into work early and leave early or go in late and leave late?
Go in late and leave late.
Okay. That's an interesting one. I feel like, well, I don't really sleep like that. So I feel like for me, going early and leave early, but it depends how early I can go in. Because if I can go in like real early and leave early, I'm chilling. But I think a good mix is I would say, ideal in those circumstances.
So I'm a night owl, so it's like the later, the better. I'm like, yeah, I can do this.
That makes sense. Yeah. Probably got more energy to make it happen. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. Well, that's a set the flow, our game at Inside the Vibe, to kind of help our community learn a little bit about our guests and kind of get us framed in the right place to dive into these questions. So, Kofi, and you said you're from Jersey originally, but now you're in Manhattan.
Yeah, so from Harlem, like I lived in Jersey to Harlem, Chelsea, Florida, then back to Chelsea.
Really? Yeah. So why that stint in Florida?
So my mom is African-American. I met my Ghanaian side at 16. So my real name is George. I go by Kofi because I was born on Friday. Me, my dad, and my half-brother, all George Marfo.
Wow.
So I'm like, you got to call me by my nickname
at this point. Yeah. Might get confusing. Mm-hmm. I like that. Okay. And do you feel that having, like, being introduced into your Ghanaian side at 16, how did that impact, like, your walk as, like, a man? Because I feel like at 16, you're becoming or starting to realize, like, what manhood represents. Like, that's right, like, junior year, senior year. So how did that change your journey as, like, realizing the man you wanted to be and the man, like, you could be?
Well, for me, living in Florida was, like, a different ball game. Like, the school I was at had, like, 2,000 kids.
Oh, wow,
and
that's
a big everybody story. Here when I was growing up was kind of just like, yeah, what you going to be when you're older? It's like, oh, like, they didn't really care.
Yeah.
Florida, like, you don't know what you're going to be in college? Like, you don't know what you're going to do in college? I'm like, nah, like, you sound like this. I'm like, oh, no, I got to get it together.
Yeah,
and then my Ghanaian side, at first, it was, like, an adjustment because – it's a different culture. Mm-hmm. And then I felt like I compared it to like Michael being Black Panther. Where I'm like, they're not accepting me. Or like, I feel kind of like an outsider, even though I should be an insider. So it was mainly that for me.
Yeah. And I think all Africans born here have that balancing of being aware and understanding of Black American culture, but still being like African. It's like a equilibrium you try to find that you sort of have to find that like that balance and freedom for yourself. Mm-hmm. So I believe even myself had that journey that I kind of had to embark on my own. And I think you have moments where you kind of go back and forth, but ultimately once you find that peace for yourself, you're in a great space.
Yep.
So in looking like at your socials and the things that I've seen you're a part of, there's a connection to the community that I see is like very prevalent in who you are and how you show up. And I want to know, has that always been a part of your identity, or did that sort of evolve as you kind of became more in tune with who you were?
I think that started like when I kept changing schools. So I went to college in Kansas, Tennessee, and Florida.
Okay.
So just keep adjusting and keep meeting people and stuff like that. And then when I came back here, it was like a lot of things I was just doing naturally. So like, I got an award from my community called the Dr. Elliott Award. And so people do a lot in the community, help people find work. So, like, a lot of things I'm doing now, this is planned. But before, I was just open people, strong, and it was like, oh, like, this doesn't take energy, really. So now with community, it's really just like, I just want to bring people together.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dope. So do you think finding that, like, you said that Kansas, Tennessee, and was it New York or Miami?
In Florida.
Florida. Do you think not having a consistent home made you kind of long for a way to tie, like, more so create roots into where, to something you kind of never really had consistently?
Yeah. So it was that. And then, just want to feel like I'm in New York even when I'm in Kansas. So when I left there, it was kind of just like, dang, I made a friend. And now it's like a little kid almost. Like, I don't want to keep changing schools. So it's like, how do I still keep this friend group, bring these people together, or if another one of my friends go to Kansas, how they feel comfortable. So it's like just not wanting people to feel what I felt when I was going through that.
And do you feel like today that you have your own personal community, like not outside of the philanthropy, like friends, family, people you can kind of create your own world of peace and understanding and relation with from day to day?
Yeah, it's much better now. Like before, I was like, everybody's my friend.
Yeah.
And that was what I was doing wrong. And then I wasn't counting on my support system. So it's like, I don't want them to look at me different. I want them to know what I'm going through. So I'm not getting the support because I'm not allowing myself to receive it. So that's what I had to work on now.
So when you say everybody is your friend, what were some of like the pros and cons you got from kind of living in that space?
Like expectations, and even like, it's a little different now. Like I'm more in tune, but before it's like, say if I go out and I post, I'm outside and stuff, and everybody's like, oh, you didn't tell me. And it's like, oh, I have to think about every single person every time I step out. And then just people expecting certain things of you. Like, if you don't do this, you're not their friend.
And yeah.
Like, yeah.
And I think as you get older and as a adult, as a man who at some point is going to be the leader of their own community, their own family, those responsibilities for other people have to be replaced by the responsibilities you have for your own familiar structure. Mm-hmm. And it's important to realize when that shift has to kind of happen.
Yeah.
And when would you say, I know you're talking about as you got older, you kind of became more positioned to something that was more intentional, and you started to really identifying who's in your community. Was there like a moment where you realized, no, this is my plan, this is my community, this is my people? Like, was there something that changed for you that kind of realign that?
I think people, like, the energy I got from, like, helping people.
Because
at first, like, for example, like, the app we're working on, I started with just one group chat. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I could post stuff here. People don't got to bother me. Keep it simple like that.
Yeah.
And then it got to a point where it's like, I could put people together. Like, because say if I find out about, like, a modeling thing and I'm not a model, I post on my story and I'm like, I know a lot of models that could really use this info. So let me put them together. And then people really saying, like, I went to Houston, I connect with this lady from the group, thank you, da da da. So I'm like, okay, like, this is really, like, leaving me to be remembered forever, which is one of my goals, like, with my legacy.
Yeah. And I think that ties into, like, that imprint of having three different places to call home, mm-hmm. having an adoption of, like, a Ghanaian community or sense of self at 16. There's, like, almost fostered a longing to be remembered, to leave lasting impact in wherever you find yourself. So I definitely think like the train of thought there is pretty pretty clear. So for those, you're talking about community and network and the group chat that you built, and you mentioned the app, right? So for those unfamiliar with Spark Brain, Spark the Brain. So for those unfamiliar with Spark the Brain, could you kind of give us a look under the hood in relation to what is the mission and the direction of the project, as well as how does that interpret and resonate with you, the founder, on a deeper level?
So the mission, or I'll even say like our goal, is to make small businesses the new big businesses without having to pay big businesses prices on things where it's like we had like a ladies event and vendors usually have to pay $300 or $1,000. We like pay $80. Like we'll even promote your stuff. So when we push this app, which we're almost at right now, we're almost at that point, is more of pinpoint small businesses, mm-hmm. home bases. So if you're in like Houston, you're connected with everything in Houston.
Okay.
And I want to free people from Instagram almost. So like Instagram has like a TL and you're seeing all these negative things. You need a social media break. So if you're doing your business stuff, you need a break, or you're an introvert, how can you still get your stuff going?
Absolutely.
You have to be in those spaces. So to pretty much free people from the negatives and also make networking easier for them.
I like that. So making networking easy. How have you found the ease or a more simplistic approach in that for yourself?
For me, it's just being in tune with yourself and knowing, like, you always have something to offer. Yeah. Like, no matter who you're speaking to, you can bring something to that conversation. It's something that they don't know. And it's easy to bring people together without asking for stuff. So, like, my main career path that I do is fundraising. So development is kind of like asking for money without asking for it.
Yeah.
So working on that is just like, if I can ask for money or raise money, I can bring people together. Like, that's easy at this point.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we're talking about networking. And obviously in 2025, there's all these social media platforms and networking opportunities that kind of take the guise of what happens at parties, right? Because I feel like a party is the new networking, the new networking mixer to kind of connect and collaborate across industry or within an industry. So it's one thing to meet people, and it's another thing to make longing connections that really matter and impact your professional walk. Mm-hmm. And I've seen from your socials, you've had conversations with, I want to say, Marlon Wayans, Dr. Sebi's brother, Kyrie, and even Busta Rhymes. So from your approach and kind of operating in those spaces and those moments, how do you look to build long relationships with people? And how can you kind of give maybe some advice to people who are in those same spaces but maybe haven't been able to have some of those conversations with influencers or influential people that they're looking to have?
I would say the first thing is like putting your pride aside, because a lot of times with like outreach or interviews, you feel like, not like you're lower than this person, but it's like I'm asking them to do me this favor.
Yeah.
And so it was that part and just seeing how to relate. So it's like a lot of people in those areas, like even the owner of the Highline I interviewed, they want to share this information. They want to, you know, give people the game to the things that they do.
So I know you were kind of giving us some insight on how you can make longing and lasting relationships. I know one thing you mentioned was putting your pride aside. And now you're talking about, you know, bothering people. And I'm pretty sure that you were speaking to Highline and the person that you kind of connected with who gave you that advice to kind of showcase to you how you embody that. Can you give us some insight on to what that looks like for like your perspective?
Pick their brain mainly too. Something I forgot to mention was when I interned at even the Highline, I interned there in Little Island, the owner took us out to lunch and he says, book meetings with people here and interview them. Yeah. Like ask them questions, pick their brain, because there's so much knowledge you can gain. And he said, and these people, they feel good helping people. Because at first, I'm just like, if somebody is rich or is that, what more do I have to offer them?
Absolutely.
And for them, a lot of times, just like, they did all these things. They just want to share the experience to people. So I would say to tell people to ask questions, ask the right questions. It's no dumb question. And also, with building relationships, I held a course and I told people that you got to follow up with people. You got to ask them how they're doing first, because, you know, usually it's always just business. And absolutely, don't be afraid to ask for help. So I asked a lady from Amazon. She was a high up person there. And I said, I'm looking for work. Do you know any places you could recommend to me? I know she works for Amazon. I know she's going to bring that up to me. She's like, oh, we're actually hiring here. I'll recommend you this, that. So it's like I asked her without asking her. So yeah,
with,
that's
with also the prior information you already knew. Mm-hmm. So that intentionality and then really the ability to put your pride aside and really be focused in how you want to be, I want to say, consistent, right, is very important in those worlds that you're kind of trying to operate in for making those lasting connections. So a big theme has been community and values and kind of how to really create relationships that last beyond just we exchange Instagrams or numbers at a party. In your experience, as you've gotten older and your responsibilities have changed, how have you still made time for those while still showing up as who your community needs you to be?
I think I make time by showing up where it matters and putting people in the spaces to receive things. So I would like to roll, let's say we have videographers here, photographers here, I'll put them in the media chat so I might not be able to share this or that because I have this, that going on, but now you have a bunch of people in the same field or this, that. So building spaces for people to get the things they need,
yeah,
where it won't really take energy from me because it's like, you all are in this. I can share something, but y'all have everything here.
Yeah, I'm not involved in the day-to-day as much, but I gave you the tools to kind of create your own network within our infrastructure. Mm-hmm. So there's clearly something bigger pushing you and propelling you towards the goal that Spark the Ring represents. So what is your why? Why do you feel the need to help people create these relationships, give people this information? Like, why are you, you know, outside of your upbringing and the community that you want to leave a legacy and a long-lasting impact on?
Yeah.
Why, aside from those things, what drives you to show up and really help progress Spark the Brain as not only an app, but like as a culture of connectivity between people?
I want people to win, and I don't want, like, I owe them, I mean, they owe me or anything like that. I just really want people to win. And then, like, seeing, like, our people, a lot of times we might have to gatekeep. People with saying, I hate gatekeeping, but they'll have to gatekeep, or they don't want you to be on their level or above them. And it's like, the other cultures, they're not like that. Like, why we got to be like this?
Yeah.
And then also, like, one of us will win or go a certain route, and they don't want nobody else to know. And it's like, no, like, share all these resources. If we all win, like, this is good for everybody.
I also think there's a luxury that we don't have in relation to, we've been made to believe that there's only room for a few of us at the, you know, proverbial table.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's always the age-old conversation, do we want to build a table or do we want to join theirs? And I think, I'm not here to have that conversation today because it's whoever is having it, it's a personal decision of kind of what route you want to go to achieve that level of success. But I think we can both agree that we do want more people succeeding that look like us, that can show up and, you know, look back and extend a helping hand in regards to the spaces that they want to achieve. Even if we don't have a direct line to those spaces, we have the opportunity and maybe the skill set to push them to the people who do have that. So what's one obstacle that you say has changed not only your trajectory, but your approach to what it is you do and your mission? And it doesn't have to be tied to Spark the Brain. It could be a personal experience or challenge that you went through or learned from, just anything that altered your approach to, you know, how you show up or how you chase your mission.
Giving up on dreams, I think, is one where, you know, you'll have a dream and you'll think nobody else is going through the same, like, issue with it.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's why, too, like, I made certain chats where it's like, you're a new business owner. It's a bunch of new business owners here. You can see their struggles. You can hear certain things. So it's like, don't give up because you're not the only one going through this. And then I think another one is like, me becoming a parent made me feel like, you know, if at first my mindset changed when I had my daughter, where it's just like, give up my dreams and make as much time for her, do all these things. But then I thought about it and was like, if she has a kid, she's going to do the same thing. So
yeah.
I have to lead by example, and I also want to be that parent that when, like, career day comes, I'm like, you know, my daughter's real proud of me. So,
yeah
those are two things for me.
Got it. And do you think in having your daughter, how old is your daughter?
She's four.
4 years old, okay. So when in having your daughter, do you feel that kind of helped you to have a better understanding for what you were trying to achieve, or do you feel it made it harder?
I'm less available, but it allowed me to, like, really appreciate time and to really, like, value my time because I was always, when I was younger, I was more of a people pleaser. And I was always available for everybody, but not so much for myself. So with my daughter, I'm like, one, I have to be good for myself, but I have to be good for her. And then I can make time for people. But it's not just everybody first, and I struggle now.
Yeah.
So that's what it helped me.
And I think, I mean, I don't have children yet, but I think having a kid, it's almost like you're signing up for this lifelong contract that is really mostly thankless.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember when I was a kid, like, I don't think I really started understanding my parents' perspective until, like, my late 20s. Where I was like, you know what? There's some truth in what they were saying, but I couldn't see it because I'm a kid, I'm living in it, and I just think, you know, parents just don't understand. But, no, they had a better understanding on and a grasp on things that I could really never fathom until I was in a similar or more mature position.
Yeah.
So how does Spark the Brain look like in, I would say, Kofi's maybe wildest dream? Like, what does that look like when you've accomplished what the mission is from your perspective? Like, how do you measure that?
I would speak on this, but then I'm not, like, when I get home, because I think about outcome a lot, okay. And sometimes it would, like, take me out of being present, which people tell me to just be present, don't think too much.
Okay.
But in the next couple of years, like, I really want a lot of these businesses that I see to be, like, the top businesses. I want more people to, like, take over events. Like, yeah. I've done a ladies event recently, and I want people to be like, hey, like, we're going to do an event now, or we're going to do this for somebody, and just... everybody knows somebody is my goal. So it's like, no matter where you go, like, even in my traveler's chat, I have people in, like, Tulum and all over. And yeah. It's like, I don't want you to feel alone no matter where you go.
Yeah.
Where it's like, now I can go outside somewhere and I'm like, I know I'm running somebody I know, so I feel comfortable.
Absolutely.
And I want everybody to feel that way.
And I think even now that you were speaking on what that looks like, Spark the Brain kind of touching all of the ends of the globe. And now, like, you know, when you go home and you have another person to kind of be an example of what that community, what that connectivity looks like in your daughter. I know you mentioned now your responsibilities have changed, and now you have to kind of show up in a different way for who she is and who you, the kind of father you kind of want to be to her. Do you feel that those responsibilities have been, like, how was that transitioning into them? Because I know, like, being a young man, I feel like being an adult can grow you up pretty quickly. So how was that transition from being, you know, a single man chasing the dream, making Spark the Brain a reality? How does it go from that to now I'm a father?
For me, it was like an overnight change. So okay. I didn't have the typical, I was in love, I've known this person for a while. My story's a little different.
Yeah.
And I became like a parent within a weekend span of a 3-month-old.
Okay, hold on. Let me take me through this. You said you became a father over the weekend?
Yeah. So the guy she was dealing with took a test. Okay. And then she reached out to me, and I took a test Monday, results Friday. Can you watch it Monday, Thursday immediately? And at the time I was working remote. So I'm like, yeah, like, you know, in my head, my dad was there for me. I have to get right to this. And it was a challenge because I never watched a baby overnight. I never changed a diaper.
Especially, like, now this is your baby. It's not even a baby. So how were you able to just shift mindset so quickly? Like, you went from a good weekend to now I have a kid.
Yeah.
How do you mentally prepare for that?
It's like now, like, even with business, just always pivoting. Yeah. But for me, mentally, I just was just in it. So I was kind of like on autopilot of being a father for months. And I was in my head, like, I was sensitive about the story. And then I also was just like, I don't feel like I'm a father. Like, I'm with her, I'm doing the right things, but it didn't feel like, to my knowledge of what a father should be. So.
Do you feel like, was an acceptance thing? Or do you feel like you hadn't accepted yet, like, this is my kid? Or what do you think was the reason that it didn't dawn on you, hey, like, I'm a dad?
I missed the birth, is what hurt.
Okay.
And then also, I had to still learn my daughter. So she was, like, very sick at the time. So I had to take in this knowledge. I had to lean on her mom with my questions and stuff. So I'm like, I don't feel like her equal. Like, I gotta step it up.
Like, but equal was, of the mom or of the?
Yeah. Okay. And then also just, I wanted to be in love and have a family and stuff. So
it wasn't the picture you imagined to start a family.
Yes. Yeah, so I was like, I let my daughter down. She got what I got now with my parents not together. So okay. She was supposed to get better, and my friend's like, you can still get that.
Yeah.
Like,
and that's heavy to kind of feel like you are an embodiment of the quote-unquote failures you hope to not reimagine, so to speak. And I like that your friend kind of poured into you and was like, hey, no, like, this happened not intentionally. You didn't know, but you can still be and create everything you didn't have. So in how did you said you missed the birth. How did that happen?
I didn't have any knowledge of her. So she was with somebody. So it was like no contact, no anything. She thought it was his kid.
Okay.
So that's, yeah, I missed that part.
So that weekend that, okay, so I think I'm catching up now. The weekend that you found out, the baby was already born.
3 months old, yeah.
3 months old. So you kind of were walking into, like, you walked in and this is yours.
Yeah. Okay. No, she didn't have my last name, though. So that was something, too. That was like, oh, I don't feel like a father.
Oh, wow.
I had to go through the petition because it was around COVID. So it took a couple of months. So I pick up meds. I'd say his last name, my daughter, and I'm like, oh, man.
So the baby took the last name of the other dude.
Yeah.
That's
and
tough.
Then now she has mine. But, yeah, that was killing me.
That's rough. That's rough. But, I mean, kudos to you for, like, embracing, like, stepping into fatherhood, even in those circumstances. Because I don't think that's an easy thing to do over the weekend and to just sign up for something that you kind of have, you know, uncertainties about, but you know the father that stepped up, but it's your kid.
Yeah.
So do you, and how long ago, I guess you said this is four years ago now?
Yeah, four.
So do you feel like there's any residuals of like that experience, or do you feel like you're at peace with all that's happened that you kind of?
Now, and I think if that would have never happened, I wouldn't have became who I was.
Okay.
So at the time, I was a people pleaser. I wasn't selfish in any way.
Yeah.
And I was kind of just like, kind of like enjoying life. But now it's like, I got to be serious. Like, you know, what if I want another kid or family in the future? Like, I really have to lock in. And at that time, I was just, you know, like, let's just see how things go. And now I'm just like, everything has to have a purpose.
Yeah. And is that heavy? The fact that everything has to have a purpose?
Yes. Because sometimes it's just, I don't want to enjoy something too much because I know it might not last.
Yeah.
Where, it's hard to be present where you have to think of what you have to do when you get home, where you have to think about this and that. So it's hard to always just be at one place at once.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely understand. I'm an overthinker myself, so there are times where I have to balance living in the moment, but then also setting up the moment for the next experience. So I haven't gotten a perfect science of that, but I am learning in real time, as they say these days.
Yeah.
But there is definitely a challenge with that, especially like the way I think, to kind of segment things so I can enjoy what the moment has and not make it too impactful for the moments I'll have later.
Yeah.
So we're talking about, you know, we started with connection, now we're talking about like your own familial structure, and you've made peace with how you came to this point and through a lot of different challenges that I feel like some other men may not have been able to get to as comfortably, you kind of stepped up into the man you kind of had to be. I know you said you guys co-parent, and how has that relationship affected, well, I would say, has it affected anything else you do in that regard? Because I know you talked about how you wanted your familial life journey to begin, and it was different. So now the fact that you guys co-parent, and I'm assuming you guys aren't together since you're using co-parenting. So how does that impact, you know, how you show up, not only in the space of the family, but in other things that you do now that you kind of aren't living in the dream that you essentially wanted to initially, but you have now this new dream?
It was rocky at first, like for the first 2.5 years.
Okay.
And then I was avoiding therapy, and then I went and I learned that like sometimes we'll deal with people and we'll think it's really this person that's getting to us, but a lot of times it's our own thoughts.
Yeah.
So it's like, I might not be a bad parent, but in my head, I thought a father should make this amount or do this and that. So it's my own thoughts or my own childhood experience that I'm living through now.
Absolutely.
So that was some things with, like, therapy helped me be aware of things. And I always thought therapy is just to fix stuff. But it's like you still have to put the work in.
Yeah.
But it allows you to know where you're at.
Where you got to start. Got it. Wow. That's a lot. But I can definitely applaud the maturity and the journey you're on, because it's not easy, and kind of realigning what you thought and what it is and how the new dream of yours becomes what you're working towards today, I think is extremely commendable. And I have a lot of respect for you that you've been able to kind of reshift your focus, but still keep who you want to be and be aware of where you've been as part of like your new vision.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
So I'll say the last thing I have for you is who is Kofi?
So before, I would say I was whatever job or whatever thing I was doing. Mm-hmm. So I was allowing my identity to be based off what I'm doing or what career I'm doing. And I think now I say I'm a vessel sometimes, where I think that I'm here to change lives and to leave a legacy behind, be remembered forever, whether it's charities or something. And I just want to be remembered for more than just being a good person. So Kofi is impactful. Kofi is human, which I always have to remind myself with mistakes and stuff. And the last thing would be, I'm a long distance runner, so I'm not a sprinter anymore. So those are the things for me.
I like that. Well, thanks again for coming out. This is Kofi. I'm Yoru. This is Inside the Vibe, and we will catch you guys in the next one. Peace.